It's Thursday, December 13th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central, the longest continuous running tech podcast. This is show number 824, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our December special for all new and existing GoDaddy customers, $2.95 per .com. Use promo code GEEK295 or take 20% off your total order using promo code GO20OFF2. Hey folks, I got a great show lined up for you. We are ready for the 24-hour podcast, which kicks off about 36 hours from now. Lots to talk about tonight. Lots of tech. Lots to share. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran. I want to welcome you to the show. I've got a lot of great stuff for you tonight. We're going to get into that here in just a few short minutes. But I want to give a warm holiday welcome to all of our Ohana and listeners from around the world. Whether you be listening or watching, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. Of course, if you're new to the show or if you've been here for a while and haven't subscribed already, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. You'll find the subscribe link in the second column of the website and the newsletter at the top. Get subscribed to both those. That way you'll never miss a single episode along with all the great content that I put together for you here twice a week. Lots of great shows over at geeknewscentral.com. We've got the Gadget Professor, Robot Underpants. We have Saturday Morning Tech. We have this show, which of course is produced every Monday and Thursday. So definitely get subscribed to them all. We definitely appreciate that you do. And follow all of our fantastic hosts and our blogging team as well that's putting together lots of great content here at Geek News Central. Of course, if you want to reach out to me, it's real easy to do so. And all you got to do is reach out via Twitter at Geek News. You can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com, or voicemail hotline is open 24 hours a day, of course, at 619-342-7365. If you're over on the website, all you got to do is click the little button on the side of the website that says Send Comment, and that's going to load a special little box that says Send a Voice Message. You can send one real easy. All you do is click Start Recording and use the microphone on your computer to do that. So look forward to getting your feedback on the show. It's definitely appreciated here when you do that. You can always watch the show later on the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV, Apple TV, you name it. We can be watched on any device known to man at this point. Whether you come to the website or you subscribe to us via iOS or Android, however you do it, definitely follow the show, and we appreciate when you do. Hey, live audio stream tonight is up. Actually, I forgot to start the live stream account, but we're actually on the, I guess for a better word, the ad-free system on Amazon. And I tell you what, they've done a fantastic job in being able to let me basically put this show together, you know, ad-free. And it doesn't cost me a great deal of money to stream live, and it'll be a lot of fun when we're doing the 24-hour show here up and coming in the next couple of days. So, of course, we're a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network here, and this show, as always, is sponsored in part by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. And I got a little quick message from my good friend at GoDaddy, Danica Patrick. Let's see if we can cue Danica up here. Go ahead, Danica.
Hi, this is Danica Patrick, racing star and GoDaddy girl. Cars, well, and me.
Maybe we're going to hear her. Let's try that again. And now I'm probably going to blow you out. What goes on is, let's see, let's try this again, Danica.
Hi, this is Danica Patrick, racing star and GoDaddy girl. I rely on my race team to make my cars lean and mean. And I know the geek here at Geek News Central relies on the team at GoDaddy for lean, mean web products like domain names, hosting, and email. Check out all of Todd's great GoDaddy deals at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy.
Well, I couldn't screw that up any bigger. Oh, man. There's a little cable down here on the floor that patches in the feedback loop that goes into the system. And I knew as soon as I hit play, you could only hear half a channel at half a volume. And I just reached down and tapped it with my foot and he went, and of course it blew up on me. So, all right. Hey, let me just share with you what we've got going on with GoDaddy this month. And I tell you, I've got $2.95.coms, which is really the buy of a lifetime. And get over to GoDaddy and pick those up. And also, the time is running out on the 20% off special. And this is super critical here, folks. If you want to get 20% off at GoDaddy.com, what you got to do is you need to go and use the promo code GO20OFF2 when you're picking up some products and services. So definitely get over to GoDaddy.com. I've got a whole bunch of codes for you to use at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. All the codes are listed there in black and white for you. There's a code there for every occasion. It's real easy to find the link on the website. It really is. All you got to do is scroll down the site and you'll see GoDaddy promo codes. Click on that. That's going to take you in. We've got SSL certificates right now for $4.99. Of course, the 20% off code. And of course, Geek295, get the 295.coms along with just a plethora of other codes there for you to use. Share those with your friends, family members, people that you know, people that you love, people that you trust, and definitely send those out and share them. We definitely appreciate it here. And we want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. And we'll see if we can use Danica in a more effective way in a later show. So, that's just funny. It truly is. Okay, hey, let me start off tonight, just a little late getting started on the show tonight. Have a birthday boy in the house, and so we've just been absolutely crazy busy here. It's been insane. We've been down to one vehicle because my wife is still shopping for a vehicle. Well, you know, fellas, you know, we know what we want, right? We've already picked out the car. We've already seen what we've wanted. This is becoming beyond painful to the point of, so anyway, tonight I handed her the, we're going to put a certain amount of money down and then we're going to finance the rest of on the vehicle that we're going to get. So I handed her a voucher from my credit union. I say, okay, this voucher is good up to this amount. Don't spend it all. And you're going to put this much down in cash. Happy shopping. So she just gives me this look. So anyway, it's been a crazy week. Been running back and forth with just one vehicle. It's been nuts. We are definitely a two-car family here for sure with everything that's going up. Anyway, I'm a little bit peaked from a busy week, and a little busier than normal and having to do all the extra stuff that, normally there's two vehicles to spread the duties out, but blessed to be able to actually be able to afford a second vehicle at this point. We know we've saved a long time, so we're going to finance finance a minority of the vehicle and put the most of it cash down. So what we've always done, and this, you know, we'll get into the tech content and what's going on here, but what we do every month is we pay ourselves. If we have a, you know, I for years did not have a car payment. And the reason it was is because every month I would pay myself into a separate account. It was kind of my car fund. And I always drove vehicles till the wheels fell off. So when I bought my vehicle, we were able to put a huge down payment on that. And then we've, you know, had a number of years here in between that. So we're about ready. I wish we had a little more in the account. But at this point, just adding up the dollars and cents on what it's going to take to get this other vehicle back on the road. It's just better to put a for sale sign on it, disclose what's wrong, and let somebody have it and have a project vehicle. So we'll see how things go this weekend. Definitely, I'm not going to be out doing any vehicle shopping because we've got the 24-hour podcast that's going to be kicking off first thing Saturday morning. And I published a schedule at my time anyway. It's going to be 11 a.m. Eastern, your time. So we want you to come and hang out with us during the 24-hour podcast. I really want you to. We're going to have, you know, I got a lot of new media topics on the schedule, but there's going to be a lot of other just general discussions. I think you guys are going to get a kick out of it and have a lot of fun. I've had Adam Curry was going to be on the show immediately at 11 a.m. Eastern time Saturday morning, but his wife and him are in Amsterdam right now. I don't know exactly what's going on. I know he's got some immigration issues. I don't know if that means his wife's having trouble getting back in the United States or what it is. But long story short, I don't know if Adam's going to be here at 11 a.m. or not. I'm crossing my fingers that he is. And if he is, he is. If he isn't, Rob and I will handle the first hour. Then we go into a full bevy of guests, really every hour on the hour for the next 24 hours. And I'm sure at about the 20-hour or 19-hour mark, I'm going to be a jelly, toast, cooked. But I hope you guys will be here to cheer me on for the entire event. So someone's sending me a text in the chat room. No, I have not seen this story on Digital Trends. I'll have it linked up. Thanks for providing that. I'll have that actually in the listener links tonight. But that wasn't actually on the cover list. And it's probably a topic I don't necessarily... Well, we'll talk about it when I get into the regular content tonight. So I'll have that to talk about here before we get in. I'm a little bit familiar with the article that he's linking to in the chat room. But beyond that, beyond the 24-hour show, we're going to give some prizes away during the show as well to enhance you guys to come and stay and watch. We're going to be giving prizes away periodically. So you have to be live and watching to win. Some will be small. Some will be a little bit bigger. And so some will be contest-driven, tweet-driven, a variety of different things. So we look forward to being able to give some prizes away during the 24-hour podcast as well. And don't forget, of course, that we are, you know, this is a big event. We're raising money. It's not just for basically for fun and games. And I'm actually going to bring up the actual 24-hour podcast site itself, 24hrpodcast.com. And help if I had this preloaded. Is it going to load? Here we go. And I've got, of course, over on that website, I've got the schedule events. Nothing fancy with this website. But, you know, as we announced before, we're going to be raising money for the Wounded Warrior Project. And this had a quick link to their website. And of course, the Wounded Warrior Project is basically where your money is going to go into help recovering warriors, family support. It's going to help them, you know, when family members need to be near their loved one. So there's going to be the goal. We hope to raise about $2,500 during the 24 hours. That's my goal. We'll see if we get there or not. But we hope that you'll help us out. We'll have a donate link on the website during the show. And then we'll do at the end, we'll definitely do a proof of delivery of that cash to the Wounded Warrior Project. So make sure that you know that your dollars are going to that charity. So we look forward to having that during the 24-hour podcast and raising money for that. Studio's prepped as much as it can be. I'll probably come through here tomorrow night before I crash a few hours early to kind of get things situated a little bit better than what it is now. But really, I've been hot and heavy at work in here this entire week. CES scheduling's been going on. It's almost like a mild panic because I keep, you know, in my head, what am I missing? What have I forgot? What do I still need to do? What do I need to order? What have I missed? And there's always these plethora of things that we have to do to get ready for that event. It's really kind of a semi-controlled chaos at the very, very best. And so, you know, it can be a little unnerving as we're getting ready to prep to go out to Las Vegas and and cover the show. And I'm bringing up the CEA website right now. But we've got lots of stuff. Basically, we're getting inundated with emails. I think we've had about around 300 vendors already reach out to us. And I don't think we've maybe booked a third of them already. And so, you know, getting the bookings all done so that we're ready to rock and roll is a big part of our preparation for CES. And that's taking up a huge amount of time on my part. So again, we're partnering up with Livestream for our ad-free content during the show. So I look forward to having them on board. And of course, Sherry from the Sherry Cast arrives here in Honolulu on Sunday. Of course, Sherry's my mom, so she's going to be participating in my Insider, my special show. So we hope that you'll, if you're not an Insider already, that you'll consider becoming one by going over to geeknewscentral.com/insider. All right, let's take care of the last piece of business here, and then we'll get into the full lineup of discussion points I have tonight on the tech side. We've got probably more news than I can actually get through in the allotted time. So be prepared. I got a bunch of stuff to go through tonight. But, you know, as I've said before, meetings are essential for any business to be successful. You know, this time of year, between holidays, bad weather, sick days, you know, getting everyone in the same room, you just forget it. But you can do that still with GoToMeeting, the powerful, simple way to meet and collaborate with clients and coworkers online, no matter where everyone is, if they're traveling, if they're snowed in, if they're homesick. Of course, I don't know if I want someone in a meeting if they're homesick anyway, but sometimes you just have to get somebody in a call. But GoToMeeting allows you to share the same screen, making it easier to be on the same page. And with the built-in HD video conferencing, you can see others really face-to-face. And it's easy to launch and join a meeting from anywhere using your computer, smartphone, or tablet. And now you can present, of course, from your iPad as well. I love GoToMeeting, and it is an essential part of my toolbox. Matter of fact, this morning, real early, we had gotten, with Angelo, my CIO at Raw Voice, we've been basically trying to get Automattic's attention. That's the folks over at WordPress, about a bug they had in Jetpack that was affecting our PowerPress plugin. And they actually, one of the Automattic folks reached out, said, "Hey, we see that you know what's going on, and we'd like to talk about the patch you're suggesting." And I wanted to be on the call too, just to kind of observe the conversation. So Angelo basically launched a GoToMeeting session, and basically I popped in. So there's three of us, the Automattic rep, Angelo, and me. And Angelo introduced me, and I said, "Hey, I'm just here to, you know, I'm not a programmer or nothing, just kind of here to hear what you guys have to say." Because it was, you know, it's a big deal for us to get this. You know, we made a patch to make sure that the actual software was going to be fine, but we wanted to get with Automattic and say, here's what we're suggesting. And that meeting went well, and I really think the face-to-face thing was the really most important part. But again, try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Don't wait for this special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. Remember, use the promo code PODCAST. GoToMeeting. Meeting is believing. I thank the folks over at Citrix GoToMeeting for being a sponsor here at Geek News Central. So, been weird weather here in Honolulu over the past 2 or 3 days. Trades have just been cranking. I mean, just really blowing, and weather rainy. I feel sorry for any tourists that are here right now because there hasn't been much sun in the last week. For me, it's nice. It's cool. My wife says it's freezing, but you know, it's all relative. It's, you know, it's in high 60s, low 70s. So it's not cold as compared to, you know, I started flipping through Dallas, Detroit, Chicago, New York, which all in the 40s, you know? So I'm like, honey, it's not cold here. It's chilly there. It's not even really chilly on the, you know, on the mainland yet. But, anyway, hey, I wanted to show you guys my t-shirt, those of you that are watching, and let me show you this. If you can see that, it says, "We Kickstarted," and basically, this is a shirt that I got from the folks at Connectify. I'm going to be talking a lot about Connectify during the show tonight. Been beta testing the new Connectify software for a while now. And they publicly released it today. And I think many of you are probably going to want to consider picking up Connectify after I get done talking about them later. They've done some incredible things. And many of you probably remember me talking about Connectify and having them on some of the shows we did for CES and other stuff years ago, a couple of years ago. But they've done some cool stuff with a Kickstarter, and we'll get into that here in a few minutes. But I'm just going to flat out tell you, I'm in love with their software package. And but anyway, I'll wait till that story comes up a little bit later in the show. I want to start out here and just kind of visit a couple of top topics that I saw that want to rattle through relatively quickly. Time Warner Cable doesn't think there's a man for Google Fiber. Time Warner says, if there's a demand for 1 gigabit per second service, we'll provide it. Time Warner Cable Chief Operating Officer Rob Marcus told attendees of a conference this week while discussing Google Fiber. Speaking at Broadband and Cable Multichannel News On-Screen Summit yesterday, Marcus stated that while the company may eventually have to raise speeds to compete with Google Fiber, so far the company hasn't had to. Granted, at the moment, Google's fiber footprint is minuscule. Marcus claims that Google Fiber's deployment currently only impacts 100,000 broadband customers and around 100,000 cable TV customers. The COO also spent plenty of time downplaying the need for 1 GPS speeds and questioned consumer demand for such speeds. You know something? Are these guys smoking their own crack? You know, let's be honest. I know that we have a lot of people here. Yes, I did mean to say what I said, smelling their own crack. So anyway, they have lost their minds because there isn't a tech user in the country. There isn't someone that has a family that is streaming multiple video streams. And, you know, one kid playing on Xbox, another kid playing on a PlayStation, someone on a iPad watching a movie on Netflix, and someone else watching Hulu. We're all part of a big connected family now, and I have to ration bandwidth in this house. Matter of fact, on Saturday, I've already told the kids, I will set up you a little hotspot in the corner of the house. So that you can use, I'll give him one of my little MiFi devices. You'll have to use that hotspot for the day. You can't be on any of the wired connections during the 24-hour show. Why? Well, this connection, that's the main cable connection, will be used to stream, you know, what we're streaming right now live. Another connection is going to be used to do the audio stream. I need the connection back here for Skype to be freed up so that there's no bandwidth issues so my Skype callers can call in. So I'm going to use the available bandwidth I have here. Now, if I had a one gig connection, I wouldn't care what the kids were doing. They could do whatever they wanted to do all day. You know, they could all do the topics I talked about above. So when Time Warner doesn't think there's a demand for Google Fiber or for 1 gig per second service, first of all, you couldn't afford it if they brought it in. You couldn't afford it. Already cost me a huge amount of money for the connection I have here. You know, way more than I want to spend on a monthly basis, believe it or not. It cuts into my operating budget in a big way. But it's incredible that they would actually say that. It's laughable. It really is. And, you know, it just makes you wonder what universe they're living in. Now, speaking of which universe some people are living in, John McAfee is back on U.S. soil. He was deported from Guatemala and has arrived back in the United States on an American Airlines commercial jet. He landed in Miami last night. Apparently, he's holed up in a Miami Smart South Beach neighborhood. And apparently, he says that he arrived by taxi after a group of customs or immigration agents, he didn't know which, escorted him to an airport taxi stand. He says, I have no phone, no money, no contact information. And basically, you know, he's got to have access to some money somewhere. you know. So we'll see what happens with this. You know, maybe in Belize they'll put a, you know, wanted warrant out for this guy, and we'll maybe the U.S. will deport him back. But you know, this guy's gotten a lot of news coverage, that's for sure. And you know, the average person would not have gotten this type of news coverage, especially if they're a potential suspect. Again, I'm saying a suspect, and I'm no way inclining to say that he is more than that. Actually, he's not even a suspect in Belize. He's just wanted as a person of interest to talk to. But, you know, let's be honest. If he wasn't John McAfee and carrying the McAfee name and well known for the McAfee antivirus software, which, of course, he has no relationship with. It's just the, I bet you that software company wishes that they had renamed the software. I'm almost betting they're wishing that they weren't being called McAfee. But anyway, long story short, we'll see what happens with this guy. And I'm sure the drama is going to continue. But, you know, from a human interest standpoint and his who and what he did in the past, we'll keep. I'm sure the rest of you are as well. Hey, how many of you that are watching the live video or the stream tonight likes the green motif in the back? And, you know, I got green tonight. We had blue on the last show. I kind of like the blue a little bit better, but I thought I would go with green tonight. And we'll probably change the color every hour during the 24-hour show, if nothing else, just to spice things up. So, got a lot of comments on that. A lot of email comments. People came in and said, "Hey, wow, love the color," and so I have a lot of fun with that. Hey, Google Maps has been released for iOS, and not a shocker. It was number one in the App Store today, number one free app. As soon as I heard about it, I downloaded it too. And man, thank goodness it's back. Woohoo! They've really done a nice job. And Google needs to be commended. And Apple, you know, they've had to eat a little crow here. Definitely that app went right over and basically in place where the other map app was. And definitely I'll be using this as my primary map app now. So a few people are whining and saying, "Oh, it's not as good." And I'm like, are you kidding? It just was pretty shocking to someone to actually say that. And also, if you are a Amazon Prime or you use Amazon Instant Video, you'd be good to know, reporting here by GigaOhm, that Amazon Instant Video is now playing on the iPhone and the iPod Touch. So that's a big move here. You know, it was already available on the iPad, but so Amazon has released, again, its Instant Video app for the iPhone and iPod Touch devices. So, of course, the free app allows iOS users to watch any of the 140,000 video titles in the Amazon library. Of course, Amazon Prime customers get access to more than 30,000 titles in Amazon Prime's instant video library at no additional cost. So I'm going to tell you, I'm astounded on what I can get shipped in here on Amazon Prime for next to nothing. I've ordered some stuff recently that would have been like $100 or $200 to ship in just because of the weight. And I just pretty shocked that I can get stuff in here for sometimes free, sometimes $6.95. So let me go ahead and just again give them a plug. And I'm sure those of you that are in lower 48 or the mainland, you guys really at this point do not, most of you don't pay very much shipping anyway, but it's a godsend for those of us here in Aloha Land. And where we usually have to pay big bucks to have stuff shipped in. Hey, Amazon is also in the news. Amazon's Cloud Player has arrived for the Roku box and Samsung Smart TV. So this is very, very cool. So if you have your music in the cloud at Amazon, you can listen to it on your home entertainment system with Amazon Cloud Player for Roku. There's a search, browse, and play all your songs. You can have playlists from your couch. So all you got to do is register Roku to begin using Cloud Player or shop for Roku. You can get one online. So add the channel if you already have one. And so it's very, very cool that you can play your Amazon collection now on your Roku or on your Samsung Smart TV. Now, one thing we've learned that from Samsung, every year their models increase. The what you see on a 2013 DVD player, you won't necessarily, excuse me, what you see on a 2012 DVD player may not necessarily be something you see in a 2013, because each model year, the apps have to be, basically certified for each model. It's a huge, huge undertaking to have apps. So it'll be interesting to see if this Roku is on all the older Samsung smart TVs along with the new. So, I'll definitely play around with that and load up my Samsung Smart TV and see what I can see on the Amazon Cloud side and report back to you guys. Okay, Apple has awarded some top apps of the year. Basically, they've awarded Paper. Action Movie FX is of the best iOS apps of the year. So this is kind of an interesting move here with them making Movie FX. And I wasn't familiar with Movie FX until today's announcement. So, you know, these best of picks, definitely, you know, how can they pick out something that's best of the 700,000 apps that are available for the iPhone and the iPad? So, they definitely this year looked at apps that were pretty robust from a development standpoint. There was no social networking apps this year. But the Action Movie FX is an app which adds Hollywood-type effects to the iPhone videos. And, of course, the top iPad of the year is Paper, which is a productivity and journaling app. So they also have a separate section where they've awarded each category some top awards, an Editor's Choice for Game of the Year and so forth. So there's a variety of different categories. So this is a good time to load iTunes and definitely check that out. Also, iTunes has done an update. They've released a patch that brings back the functionality where you can find duplicate tracks in iTunes. I didn't even know that was a feature. I really didn't. I've got a lot of dupes in my inventory. And I was like, oh, I think I should upgrade iTunes and check it. I was reading through the articles tonight and saw that for the first time. And that just tells you how much time I spend in iTunes. I don't need to anymore. It's all right there on my mobile device or on my iPad. I don't have to use iTunes so much anymore. And when I'm playing something here in the house, if I want to, because I've got a Sonos system, all I do is wirelessly connect to the Sonos player, pick Pandora, and I can play whatever I want for music or something right through Pandora or through my library. I very rarely actually use iTunes anymore. Don't even have to download podcasts with it anymore because my phone does it automatically. Let's talk about Flickr. And you know, Flickr, boy, you know, Yahoo has been neglecting Flickr for a while. And boy, oh boy, they have come out of the gate in a big, big way. The new Flickr iPhone app, and this is was written by Thomas Hawks over at Digital Connection. He says, a new Flickr, my doggy is going nuts tonight, and I have no idea why. You guys hear him barking there in the background? Out in the yard, probably another dog walking by. He can't see and hear anything, so I don't know what he's barking at. He must be smelling something. But my dog is, my son, he's 15. My dog is 15 years old. And, you know, I think he can only smell to get around. If I yell at him, he can hear me. And he's able to follow me. He must see shadows and stuff, but he doesn't see real well. He's out in the yard barking at barking at a shadow, I guess. But anyway, this article by Thomas Hawk says the new Flickr iPhone app is really, 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 really mind-blowing fantastic. And he does a really good review of the entire app and what it does and how it works and how you share and push to Facebook and everything else and how you can crop and edit and everything else. So definitely very cool. And I haven't loaded it yet, but one thing I want to hopefully we can do is we can use this at CES and have everyone pushing to our Flickr account. He's still barking out there. He never barks this long. So there must be a cat or something in the yard because that's about the only thing he barks at. So anyway, if you're happy, if you're a Flickr user, you must be happy to see this new app, and I'll get it loaded and play with it, and It allows you to sign up with Facebook too. And I have a Flickr Pro account. I pay for the Pro service every year. So I'll have to get to using it again. And we'll see how it integrates. So I'm looking forward to using it. In a little bit of shocking news, the Samsung chief strategy officer prefers to use Apple at home. This guy should have kept his mouth shut, because the folks in South Korea that head up Samsung's technology division are probably not going to be very happy with him. Young Sun, Samsung's chief strategy officer, admitted to Technology Review in an interview that he can't get enough of Apple products. From the interview, "I use a Mac actually at home. I've always used Mac, an iPhone, and an iPad. At work, I'm using Samsung devices, Apple at home, mainly because of all my systems and files are done that way. That's sticky, you know." Oh my goodness. I would have never, if I am the chief strategy officer at Samsung, do you think I would ever, even if I had an iPad for every person in my family and they all had iPhones, do you think I would ever admit in an interview that I used a Mac product at home? Is this guy the most biggest bumbling idiot you've ever seen? He's done. I predict he's out of a job, because you just don't do this being a CSO. If I was the CEO of Samsung, I'd fire him. I would fire him in a New York minute. He'd be gone. You know, I don't really care what status he had with the company. I would fire him so fast. Now, he'd probably go work for Apple, but this is incredible what he said. You know, my wife being Japanese, the Asian culture, and there's a big difference between Japanese and Korean cultures. Don't get me wrong here. I don't want to try to say there's any direct comparison. But one thing there is a direct correlation with is loyalty. There is extreme loyalty to the company you work with. You know, if you are in Japan and you work at the Toyota plant, you're driving a Toyota. If you are in Korea and you're working at the Kia plant, you're driving a Kia. You're not driving a Ford, you know. And when you go to Ford, what do you see in the Ford parking lot, you know, at the plant? A lot of Fords. So it goes here too, right? What do I use? I use all our services at Raw Voice. I use our stats. I use our hosting accounts. You know, I'm in all in, right? But this is incredible that this guy would admit this. I would fire him at an absolute New York minute. We'll see. We'll see how long he lasts. But he's a fanboy. Maybe that's why they got sued for $1 trillion, right? Oh, my gosh. I just can't believe it. Can you imagine the butt chewing that guy's going to get in the office before, if he isn't fired? Someone in the chat room said, "I'm fairly certain this man will lose his job pretty soon. He tied a metaphorical noose around himself." Yeah, exactly. Okay, hey, let's talk about DNA for a second. Have you ever thought about having your DNA mapped out? I saw today an article that's over on Gizmodo that I was shocked at. And, you know, a DNA profile can tell a lot of things, and it also doesn't tell everything. And it gives you some, you know, it may tell you if you are susceptible to Alzheimer's, which probably I am already, the way I forget stuff. I have to keep notes on everything. It also tells you if you're susceptible to cancer in a variety of different studies. And it's if you have your DNA done, it's, you know, it's, it could be, here's the warning, you prepare for it, right? And in this day and age, if you want to live a long time, that's what you're going to have to do. But it's always been too expensive. Listen to this. And I'm going to sign up for it. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to read the report back to you guys. unless it has something crazy in there. It could get my insurance canceled. But anyway, it says mapping out your genome is the 21st century equivalent to start staring deep inside your soul. It's tempting to look, but terrifying what you might find. The DNA divers at 23andMe are hoping that slashing the price of their home testing service from $300 down to $100 will be enough to tilt the scales toward discovery. $100. I'm going to do, my wife and I both do it. I'm ordering the kits at 23andMe and have the kits sent in, and we're going to do it. Both of us are going to do it. I think this is, if nothing else, it'll be some level of fascination to see what the reports say, being that we know family history and everything else. But for $100, I just think it'll be a real interesting thing to do. And I'll be able to share with you guys how the results turned out. But the folks at Gizmodo said they tried it and it was unnerving, as you'd think, maybe even more so, especially because it all boils down to just possibilities or probabilities. And it says at least now, though, the determining factor is more likely to be an interest because of the price. So $300 was a lot of money, but $100, if you really think about it, that's really not that bad of a price. So go over to 23andme.com and order. And there's a store that you can go on and you can order the kit. So, you know, this is a real easy way to, and it's, you know, it ships in a couple of business days. You get the results 2 to 3 weeks after they receive their sample. And it gives you over 200 online health and trait reports. It gives you DNA database, basically talks about how you compare. And so this is very, very cool. At $99, this is smart. And all you have to do is provide a saliva sample. I haven't read everything up on their privacy statements or anything like that and who they share this with or not. But for $100, and then, of course, yeah, someone else said in the chat room, I think it's cool as heck, but you raise a good point about insurance ramifications. So let's see if we can get it and make sure. I'll make sure they don't share because if it comes back and it says you're susceptible to this, this, and this, and this, you kind of go, fold that up and you share that with your doctor, but you don't share that with anybody else, right? But very, very cool. $100, I think, and this might be actually a good Christmas present for those of us that are geeky out there that may want to do that. I told my wife about it and she thought it was really cool. She said, cool. Order it. Cool. And she doesn't say cool and order stuff very often. I do want to share just kind of a side note here. And my wife has been reluctant. You know, I'm the person in the house that does all the online shopping. She does very little online shopping. And recently we've been running into places where they didn't have what we wanted. And I am proud to say, I think my wife has finally got the bug, and it's taken forever. And she's like, should I order it? I'm like, well, of course you should order it. And she was ordered a couple of things online, and they came in, and it's like a kid in a candy store. All of a sudden, now she's coming with the, and I hope I haven't unleashed an animal here, but she's come in, and she shows me, and I'm like, oh, free shipping, great, go ahead, knock it out. It's cheaper than what you can get at so-and-so place, right? Yeah. So it's taken a while. How many of you have a significant other or partner that doesn't like to order online? And it's taken a while here. It's kind of an interesting thing that's happened. You would think our house would be like we'd be, you know, online ordering fanatics. But I was. But she has finally kind of, you know, seen the light. So it's kind of cool. Especially when she, you know, and also she's buying from big manufacturers that have local presence, so she can take the product back to the store if in case it doesn't, you know, fit her needs. So that works out as well, too. Okay, let's talk. I want to switch gears here completely, and I want to talk just a little bit. And actually, this probably is a huge topic for, I'm going to save this. I'm going to save this article for Saturday. And it's about YouTube studio conflicts. Let's talk about folks that are media creators who are having conflicts with the people that they've signed contracts with. And basically new media is starting to see some of the impacts of things that regular, you know, television stars have went through for years on ownership of IP and publishing rights and perpetual licenses and all this other stuff. And, you know, I've been a big proponent of a long time here. And I'll just say this. The philosophy that I've had ever since I started new media is I own it. If I create it, I own it. And there's no way that I was ever going to sign over any intellectual rights to anyone on this show. And it's really important that I have the creative control on the show. Now, we've seen, and it goes beyond that. The philosophy goes beyond the creative control and owning my own content. It also is about having my own website, having my own brand, controlling just the whole process and not allowing a third party, any party, to disrupt what I do. And that includes, and you know, this, and here I am the CEO of Raw Voice, but it also includes, if you know, and I'm just throwing a hypothetical out there, what happens if something happens, Raw Voice goes away? I want my property to continue because that brand is very, very important. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I built everything, and our philosophy of our company has been is that shows can really be benefit working with us, but they can survive without us. And that's, you know, kind of a weird thing to say, but we've really had that philosophy of being able to provide great tools, but not locking people in. And so when these guys that are these content creators get locked in and have signed contracts for creating content, and some other company says, uh-oh, now I own your IP, it just makes your hair stand up on the back of my neck, and it rankles me to no end. Because there was a lot of that in the very beginning of the podcasting space. Again, we'll get into this more on Saturday, where we have plenty of time to talk about it. But this is a great article that probably will be one of our lead-offs Saturday morning when Rob and I, and hopefully Adam Curry comes on board. If not, we're going to be talking about Adam's user-supported part of his show and how his audience supports him when they do No Agenda with him and John C. DeVore. Okay. So let's switch back to the health side again. And I don't know how this article got in between, but the first human trials involving reprogrammed stem cells could come next year. It appears that two gentlemen who earned a Nobel Prize for breakthroughs that came from the decades of stem cell research appears that they may be working to help change lives. Now, John B. Gordon, and Shunya Yamanaka, who earned the Nobel Peace Prize, are going to start doing some advanced cell technology where they are going to reprogram stem cells. Unlike traditional stem cells, which are sourced from destroyed human embryos and thus embroiled in ethical controversy, reprogrammed cells can come from other areas of the body, such as your skin. So they hope through this technology that they will be able to reprogram these cells to develop better treatment options for patients suffering from leukemia and anemia, and individuals with certain types of diseases routinely need platelet infusions. So they're thinking that they're going to be able to use stem cell reprogramming to solve some of this. So this is exciting stuff. And scientists are getting pretty incredible in some of the stuff that they're able to have been able to do in recent years. And I really think that they're on the cusp of some big things. So excited to see this type of research moving forward. They're also doing some research on preparing the brain for a stroke before it occurs, talking about how to get our brains to have more oxygenation as we get older. And some studies have been done on how to do that so that, you know, people, you know, a certain percentage of the population is going to have a stroke, but they feel if they can help people's brains prepare for that potential, that they'll have a higher survival rate and also have a better recovery. And they've done some studies about blood cell formation in the brain and how to enhance that. So this is a cool article over at Wired that I have linked up. All right, switching back to more techie stuff here. You know, always on video, always on streaming video. You know, you've seen some of these sites where people have their stream up. They have a camera up in the room and it might be a business or something like that. And they're streaming that live. You know, there's cameras are all around us, but most of them are turned off throughout the day. But there's two startups that want to change that. Kazoo, K-O-O-Z-O-O, wants to provide live feeds at public places. And a company called Perch wants the old iPod Touch into an always-on video messenger. So the Kazoo folks want to do basically be in public places like restaurants and bakeries and a variety of different places to give people an idea of traffic levels into the businesses. So if you're deciding to visit someplace, you can kind of bring up online. So, yeah, there's only three people standing in line or they're not so busy right now. So they're what they're really trying to do is basically have these cameras all over the place, not only in stores, but pointing in public places so that people can kind of have an idea what's happening around them. And kind of a cool idea. Now, I think the government's already putting cameras up and they know what's going on already. But, you know, there's a lot of cameras that are wired and streaming back to security systems now. But the folks over at Perch, this is a Vancouver-based startup. The idea is the users mount an iPad or an iTouch to their wall and leave the camera on 24/7. The app starts recording once it detects any motion. And it opens up its microphone as soon as someone directly faces the camera to leave a message. Perch's app automatically fires off a notification to family members once a new clip is recorded. Perch initially would work on an app that would transform the iOS device into a security camera with motion detection, so which is pretty cool. So they want you to use your old devices to basically become your new eyes and ears in your homes and businesses. Kind of a cool thing. So I have the link up in the show notes on that for you to check out. Those of you that are on Android, the new Facebook for Android has been rebuilt from scratch. It's twice as fast as the old app. It's available now. So definitely get out there and get that. And they did a nice job on that. I was playing with that on my LG Optimus G Android phone with the 4.7-inch screen and quad-core processor. And this phone is pretty remarkable. I'm pretty impressed with it. For being my first Android phone to test, it really does a great job. All right, TV On-The-Go service Arrow adds Bloomberg TV as its first cable channel. Now, they didn't steal it. They are actually playing Bloomberg TV for the rights to rebroadcast it. This is big. So, Arrow, again, has added its first cable channel. The channel covers financial issues, of course, and is owned by Bloomberg LP, the large data and media company owned by the mayor of New York City. And the Wall Street Journal says that Arrow is reportedly paying Bloomberg to transmit the channel. And this is very significant. And at first, it adds more content to Arrow's offering for now, which only consists of over-the-air TV. And Bloomberg TV is not exactly ESPN, but it does show potential Arrow customers. The company is serious about expanding. So, boy, oh, boy, I'm sure the cable companies are scared to death. Hey, if you're going to run a criminal enterprise, do not use Facebook and Twitter to share what you've stolen, share different things that you've done. Apparently, for the second time this year, New York City Police Department had busted up a violent gang. This gang was in Brooklyn using both Facebook and Twitter to boast about their accomplishments. And risk what they did is the NYPD was able to get some of their young members, 12 years of age, to friend them. And they were able to look at the stuff that they were stealing and build a case. So this particular gang was built mafia style, had a top guy and then lieutenants and so forth. And but 41 folks that were busted and now are in the slammer. And of course, some in juvie if they're 12 years old. But very interesting move by New York Police Department and what they did there. All right, I want to share with you now an article and also a new technology called, well, it's not new. It's updated. It's called Connectify. And here's the best way to describe it. And I'll tell you what I did when I was on travel last time. So when I'm in an area where there's a clear wire connection, I take my clear modem with me. And I basically either direct plug that into a laptop or it goes into a Wi-Fi device. For this test, what I did is I took the Clearwire connection and I plugged it directly into my Windows machine that I travel with. I then plugged in my Sprint, USB stick, and was able to connect to a 4G connection right there in Texas where I was at. The next thing I did is I took another USB stick, and I put this in. So basically it gave me a second Wi-Fi receiver in my computer, and I connected to my Verizon MiFi. So now I've got three internet connections live going to my computer. And then on the fourth one, I used a Virgin wireless device and connected to my actual computer. So I've got four connections. I've got the Virgin Wireless. I have the Verizon MiFi, which are connected to this a little stick that's, if you can't see this, it's just a little 300 MPS wireless USB adapter. And on the third was the USB connection to Sprint. And the fourth was my connectivity to the Clear. So I had four internet connections coming into a single laptop. And I loaded the Connectify software. And what it does is it used multiple connections simultaneously with what's called Connectify Dispatch. And then it basically shares stuff out, and basically you get this huge pipe. And, you know, there's a lot of you that are probably liking the idea of blending multiple connection types. And this Kickstarter product, which I donated, I think, $100 to, I've been really, really impressed. So as promised, their app unifies cellular, Ethernet, and Wi-Fi connections, as many as a computer can muster. And it's really an incredible piece of software. And it allows you to prioritize where you're going to have, who's got the, you know, if this one's costing you money, it'll, you know, it stacks it. It's really awesome. And I was able to get some incredible upload speeds. Now here's the real odd thing. And I don't know how the magic that they do this, but you don't go through a central server with them. It's all right on your machine and it runs incredibly well. And we're going to be employing this heavily at CES to maximize our connections on the Windows machines that we have to really give us all one speedy link. And we think that if we leverage this right, we might be able to get some real cool on-the-go type of connect, basically on-the-go type of coverage. And so I got this cool T-shirt and a couple of devices and software. I paid for another license tonight. I like it that much. But Connectify, you can find the website over at Connectify Me. And actually, let me load this. And I don't want to load the page that has my license info because I was actually set as I ordered another connection today. But if you go over to Connectify.me, watch the video. And this, I'm telling you, this is incredible. And if you travel, or you have more than one connection in your house, you gotta check this out. So, you know, and if you go to buy the software, you know, buy both pieces. You know, buy the hotspot and buy Connectify Dispatch and the Connectify Hotspot Pro. It's really good, and it's one license per computer. And I can't wait. And they're basically, they're adding more features the more people that buy the product. So basically, they're going to, as they sell copies, they're going to start opening up more features on this. And so this is what's kind of cool. The more people we get to support it, the more stuff they're going to be able to add. It's all a financial thing, and the community is basically paying for the new features and everything that they do. So this is awesome. Again, this allows you to connect to like a coffee shop Wi-Fi and your 4G mobile device simultaneously and using both internet connections for combined speed and increased reliability. And what they're really doing here, and let me tell you what I think is ultimately going to happen. My goal is there's some vendors out there that have some very expensive bonded hardware where you can put 6 or 7 mobile devices. If you have enough USB ports and the software will support it, you could almost build a bonded connection with this software for under $100. The bonded solutions are $1,500, $1,600, $1,700 at a minimum. And then they want you to pay monthly rental and all this stuff. But this could really have a big, big impact on media creators. So I'm really excited about what Connectify is doing here. And it really is going to make things different when I go on the road and having enough bandwidth when I'm in a hotel that has limited bandwidth, but I've got a couple of other connection standpoints with me. So this will be cool. And I had a lot of fun with it when I was in Texas playing with it. All right, that's enough on that. Let me go ahead and switch Connectify.me. And yeah, Rob, so no more disable one, enable another. Yes, you got it. You figured it out, my friend. Connectify.me. All right, I want to, I saw an interesting chart today, and it's kind of, I don't know if it's political, and I don't want to be political, but I wanted to show you guys. There's a chart that shows U.S. energy flow, and I thought it was pretty interesting, and I don't know if I can blow this up or not. Can I blow this chart up? And I don't know who did this study. Oh, source was U.S. Energy Information Administration, Annual Energy Review. And let me talk about how energy flows in and out of the United States and our utilization totals. And I think if I look at the middle section, it gives me the actual percentage points. So we exported 10.36% of petroleum and other type of exports. We use 19.64 coal, 24.84 natural gas, petroleum was 35.28, nuclear electric power was 8.26%, and renewable energy was 9.14. Now, I didn't add these up. And then geothermal was 2%, solar PV was 2%, waste was 5%. So that basically, they break down the renewable energy. Sorry. Hydroelectric made up 30% of the renewables, wood 22, biofuels 21, wind 13, waste 5, geothermal 2, and solar PV 2%. So kind of an interesting chart here, but there's a lot of ins and outs on this thing, but it kind of just shows you what's going in and out. And it gives you an idea here, for example. Energy breakdown for basically how it's being used is 21.6% was residential, 18% commercial, 30% industrial, and transportation was 27%. And I'm sure transportation includes gas we put in our cars and semis going down the road. So the residential and transportation totaled up 48% of our total energy use in the United States, with industry and commercial making up the other 48 or 49%. But it shows inflows and outflows. I think it was really fascinated. It was over on polyzeros.com. Not really sure how I found this site, but it's kind of cool. Kind of a cool chart. And I have a link up in the show notes for you to check it out. You know, you hear these numbers being thrown on the news and so forth, and you really never know. Okay, what's the real number? But link is up. Boy, we're going to go long tonight. I've only got like halfway through this stuff, so I'm going to have to speed up here. The Calm Act finally puts a muzzle on loud TV commercials. So hopefully that calms the advertisers down a little bit, and we don't have to turn our TVs down every time a commercial comes on. So the CALM Act is supposed to put the muzzle on those loud ones. The ITU treaty negotiations have collapsed as U.S., Canada, and the U.K. have refused to sign. So as anticipated, several countries did push to expand the U.N.'s authority to regulate the Internet. And the U.S., along with many of its allies, has said they will not sign the updated treaty. So basically, the collapse of the negotiations began when language was added to new rules about human rights obligations, which predictably met stiff resistance from nations with spotty records on that front, including China and Iran. But the complete failure of the delegates to reach a consensus on updating international telecommunication law seems to hinge primarily on the push by countries like Russia was trying to open the internet to additional UN regulations that could cover everything from security to the assignment of addresses, something that's currently handled by the ICANN. So basically, a number of U.S. allies refused to go along here. So it seems that this has been stopped, but definitely it did come up at the end of the ITU. A federal judge has affirmed the right to caller ID spoofing as long as it's not harmful. Interesting. Don't know about that. Why would a judge do that? So a federal judge affirmed right to caller ID spoofing as long as it's not harmful. Makes you go, Intruders have hacked industrial heating system using backdoor posted online. Apparently, hackers illegally accessed the internet-connected controls of a New Jersey-based computer internals heating and air conditioning system by exploiting a backdoor in a widely used piece of software. The backdoor contained an older version of what was called the Niagara AX framework. And here's the crazy part. It's used to remotely control boiler, heating, fire detection, and surveillance systems for the Pentagon, the FBI and U.S. Attorney's Office, and the Internal Revenue Service, among many others. The exploit gave hackers using multiple unauthorized U.S. and international IP addresses access to a graphical user interface, which provided a floor plan, layout of the office, which control fields, and feedback for each office and shop. So I guess they could have turned the heat up, turned the heat off, and turned cameras on and turned cameras off. Kind of scary stuff. So that's what's going on the hacking front. Now it's controls. All right, I want you all to listen up here. Still with me? Still listening? I want you to listen closely. This is a little bit of an interesting article that I haven't seen anything on before. U.S. Counterterrorism Agency will store data on innocent Americans to look for future crimes. This is an article over on The Verge and a variety of other websites. And this should make all of you sit up and say, what? You ever heard of an organization called the NCTC? I've never heard of this group. With surveillance technology, evidence of a nationwide NSA wiretapping program, it's already difficult enough for the average person to stay out of the ever-expanding crosshairs of the U.S. counterterrorism operations. A Wall Street Journal investigation unsealed records from the National Counterterrorism Center, NCTC, which reveals a list of expanded guidelines allowing the agency to collect and retain records on millions of American citizens, even those not suspected of committing any crime. The documents, which were unsealed by a Freedom of Information Act by the Wall Street Journal, made in March of this year, showed revisions which dramatically expanded the agency powers. Previously, the guidelines required that the agency should or must remove any records it have collected on U.S. citizens that are not reasonably believed to be terrorism. It says not reasonably believed to be terrorism information. By the revision, it now allows the agency to retain the records of those innocent citizens for up to 5 years, during which the agency will be able to continually assess the data to track the possibility of future crimes. The new regulations allow the NCTC to share U.S. person data with any appropriate entity, including foreign governments and private companies, under cover of merely determining whether or not that data is relevant to terrorism. And during the period of retention, the agency is also now able to investigate individuals using pattern-based queries based on data sets unrelated to terrorism, something the 2008 guidelines explicitly prohibit. This, my friends, is utter destroying of the Federal Privacy Act of 1974. Does this not make you go, holy crap? The revisions to the rules now allow the NCTC to retain the records of innocent citizens for up to 5 years. The database contains things like flight records, employment history. The loophole in the current law allows agents to exempt themselves from complying with the Federal Privacy Act of 1974 simply by placing a notice in the Federal Register. This was debated in secret, but eventually went through anyway. Mary Ellen Callahan, Chief Privacy Officer of the Department of Homeland Security, wordly argued that the expanded provisions represent a sea change in the way that the government interacts with the general public. A former senior administration official familiar with the debate called the changes breathtaking in scope. This is not the Bush administration doing this. This is the current administration doing this. Does this not set you guys back on your heels? I just found this incredible. Some people are going to say, well, you have nothing to hide. I have nothing to hide, but it's very obvious that the government knows everything they want to know about you and more. Now, are you ready for this next thing? Sit back. I got more for you. Remember back in 2007, when in a public communication, the Obama administration and the Electronic Frontier Foundation were trying to go to court in 2007. Does that make sense? The Obama administration was in office in 2007. All right. Remember when they were supposedly there was this box in an AT&T building in San Francisco, which basically was looking at telecommunication stuff. At least that's what was alleged. And the case went forward and basically got shut down. But a new judge on the case, District Judge Jeffrey White of San Francisco, isn't so sure that the current administration may automatically prevail by its assertions of state secrets privilege, according to the judge marks in a Wednesday filing. The state secrets doctrine was first recognized by the Supreme Court in the McCarthy era and is asserted when the McCarthy era, that's scary, and is asserted when the government claims litigation threatens national security and might expose state secrets. Judges routinely dismiss cases on that assertion alone. So basically, we could have the EFF could be coming back and this case may ultimately get moved forward. And of course, if this case gets reinstated, this could be big. Again, this is based on the article that was published in Wired a number of years ago that outlined a secret room in an AT&T San Francisco office that routes internet traffic back to a U.S. government agency. And again, the lawsuit was filed during the Bush administration. And of course, the president at the time signed legislation immunizing the telecommunication companies for their alleged participation in the program. So, you know, it doesn't matter if you got a Republican or Democrat in office, but based on these last two articles, they're doing everything in their power to allow agencies to do what they're continuing to do, unfettered, and in my opinion, very much against the Federal Privacy Act of 1974. What do you guys think of that? Really, I don't know. It just, to me, it makes it go, it really does. So let's go ahead and switch gears. But I want to hear your feedback. Geeknews@gmail.com. Twitter me at geeknews. Call the hotline at 619-342-7365. Someone says in the chat room, didn't the Obama administration promise for more transparency? I don't think any administration is giving any transparency. You know, talk is cheap. It really is. Doesn't matter who they are. Now, I don't even want to talk about DMCA stuff. I'm just tired of it. But now site owners are just basically being strong-armed, saying, hand over your domain and we won't prosecute you. And that's the gist of this article on Torrent Freak. I'm not going to go any further than that, except that companies are just handing over their domains and running away like scared children. Along with that, Canadian ISPs are preparing for an assault by BitTorrent trolls. So they're ready for their day in court. A UK streaming link site, the operators handled suspended jail sentences. These guys weren't even hosting any media. They were just linking to copyright violated material, simply linking to it. It's got these guys suspended sentences in the UK. The only good thing that's going on in this front is Verizon determined to expose BitTorrent copyright trolls. So the Verizon actually fighting back. Verizon's fed up with the avalanche of mass BitTorrent lawsuits. They're determined to put an end to copyright trolls, extortion-like practices. The internet provider is asking a Texas court to grant discovery so it can expose how these companies operate. According to Verizon, copyright trolling practices don't belong in court, and the ISP equates the companies involved with schoolyard bullies to push and shove until firm opposition is met when they shrink away. So Verizon's fighting back. Bravo for them. Six-strike agreement that may be implemented next year. There's finally admission going on that people may have lawsuits filed against foes they're pirating. Participating ISPs are going to be tracking folks, and they're going to provide information and give information on subscriber accounts so that information is available for the content owner representative if it elects to initiate a copyright infringement action, aka lawsuit against it. So six strikes is another thing that's going to be going after you. And the only other good news today is Google starting to report false DMCA takedown request. So nice to see that they're actually putting that in their reporting. Sprint is making a formal offer. The $2.1 billion to Sprint is making a formal offer of $2.1 billion to acquire Clearwire. So they're trying to just basically wrap them up and own them. So we'll see where that leads. There's a great article over on makeuseof.com talking about what does your computer say about you. And this is kind of a fun one. It's got a few points. It says, if your computer's less than a year old, you're on the cutting edge. You're hip, trendy, and up to date with the latest in the world of computer hardware. If your computer's 1 to 3 years old, I'd say you're just about average, nothing to get excited about. Maybe other categories would prove you're more unique. And they go into all these different categories. But if your computer's older than 3 years, you're not a demanding user. You need your computer to be there for you, but it doesn't have to perform extraordinary feats of number crunching and graphics. So it goes in and talks about screen size, keyboard type, hard drive, graphics, and it basically generally profiles you on what type of computer you own. So I have that up in the show notes for you to check out. Hey, how many of you have built your own system and purchased some of these high-efficiency power supplies for your computer? If you've done that, and you bought an 80-plus, you need to read this article over on Extreme Tech. It talks about where you, if you're really getting your bang for your buck here. So I have that link up in the show notes. Again, this is for folks that build their own computers and use high-efficiency power supplies in their builds, okay? Link will be up in the show notes on that. Those of you that want some cool audio editing software at a very low price, Wavosaur, Wavosaur, Wavosaur is tiny and free. It's a full-featured audio editor. Again, Wavosaur, new software tool out there. Thanks, Link, for that from the folks at PC World. Drobo's hit the turbo boost with a newly launched 5N home network attached storage device. And, you know, think about Drobo. I think they're a little overpriced. You can pick up a 5N basically with no drives for $599. You can, wow, this is, it's still expensive. Now, you can stick an SSD drive in this thing, I guess. But, very expensive. Five drive, of course, it's RAID and has RAID-like striping. I've got a Drobo, but haven't been using it in a while. It's just too slow. Mine's a USB. It's just too slow and expensive to run. Sony rumored to announce new combat cameras at CS 2013. We'll have that coverage for you at the show. Samsung, LG, and Sony to launch 5-inch full HD smartphones in first half of 2013. So they're going larger on screen size. Apple has updated malware definitions to detect new SMS scam that's going around. So if you basically get an update notice, definitely update your system. As I mentioned earlier, Apple has released iTunes 11.0.1 and has added the duplicate item finding back into it. It includes iCloud and AirPlay fixes. A little more news on topics on mobile devices. Verizon is pushing Android 4.1 update to Samsung Galaxy S3 tomorrow. So look forward to that update. You'll be able to get Jelly Bean. And again, if it's going to be pushed out to its version of Samsung Galaxy S3 phones, be aware. And in a big monumental shift in their decision, New York City Taxi Commission has voted yes to 1-year trial of cab hailing apps like Uber. This is huge. This is lots of bickering between the New York City Taxi Commission and Uber. It looks like they're going to try it. So that's a big win by Uber. So we'll see where this goes over the next year in New York City. A couple of moon probes we've had circling the moon doing some science. They're going to crash them Monday into the moon. I'm like, why are they doing that? The Gravity Recovery and Interior Laboratory Grail probes, Ebb and Flow, will crash into a mountain on the moon Monday afternoon, ending a fruitful mission to study the surface and composition of the moon. So there's a good article here, but I guess these probes are done and they're gonna crash and burn them right into the moon surface. It's okay. Watch out below. Here it comes. And of course, everyone heard about North Korea launching a satellite. What do they do? Launch a basketball or something? But it's very, very troubling. And I tell you, this could lead to something bigger. It really could. It's a big deal, but we'll see what happens here. Oh, you know those petitions that have been going around to the White House? It appears the Obama administration will have to respond to a petition to begin construction on a Death Star by 2016. Now that the appeal has gathered a critical number of signatures, the Star Wars inspired petition was posted on the White House We the People site on November 14th, and today passed 25,000 signature threshold, required an official reply. And the final article of tonight is a huge iceberg breakup. It's one of the biggest ever been caught on camera. It's going to be made into a full feature-length film. When you see the a little bit of the three-minute click that's been made available, you're just going to be wowed. So I have that link up in the show notes. Well, I went entirely too long tonight. I want to thank you for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. Thanks for watching the show. It's been my pleasure to bring it to you. Do not forget that this show is sponsored in part by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. Come over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy to get all of the promo codes. And, of course, by Citrix, GoToMeeting. Meeting is believing. Go over to GoToMeeting.com and use the promo code podcast to get that free 30-day trial. But, hey, folks, I'm going to be back with you for a full 24 hours live Saturday, starting at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here at Geek News Central, at live.geeknewscentral.com, at 24hourpodcast.com, and a whole bunch of other sites that are simulcasting. We've got the schedule up at Geek News Central. Check it out. I want you to be here. Come hang out with me for a few hours if you can, especially when it gets late, like this time of night when I've been going for 14 or 15 hours. I'm going to need you here with me. It's definitely going to be like the MDA telethon where Jerry Lewis starts getting a little weird at 20 or so hours. Definitely going to need you here tomorrow or Saturday night through Sunday morning. It should be a great event. I'm hoping I am able to keep the energy up in like 44, 45 guests over 24 hours. So there's going to be lots of stories, lots of things to share. It's going to be fantastic. I just can't, I think we got a great lineup. I really do. And, it's going to be fire hose. We're going to feed so much information to people. And if you've been listening to the show since 2004, you may not. And if you've caught every episode, you may not need to listen. But if you've only been here a little while, we are going to tell you everything there is to need to know about new media, real life examples, how to build networks, how to build shows, gear you're going to need, you name it. The Gadget Professor with me, Angela will be here, Rob. I mean, there's just a whole huge plethora of guests, people that you know, people that you don't. And we look forward to bringing a live show to you. But hey, mark your calendar, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, starting Saturday morning. I want you to be here with me, and it'll be a lot of fun. We'll record the whole show, but I want you to be here and listen and watch. We'll be streaming audio and video. So you'll be, no matter where you're at, you'll be able to listen and participate. And that's the most important thing. It's been my pleasure bringing you the show tonight. Thanks so much for hanging out. We went long. I'm going to get off in here so we can get this wrapped up and I can actually get to bed and make sure I get enough sleep so that we're ready to go Saturday morning. Until next time, everyone, take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.